speak to you in the name of our risen Lord. Amen. So today we are marking 100 years since the declaration of the armistice that ended the First World War. We've gathered here and we've read the names of those persons from the parish who made the supreme sacrifice in the conflicts of both the First and the Second World War. Names include 18 men who gave their lives in the First World War, including the brothers Daw, who were sons of the rector of the parish at that time, and who both gave their lives at Vimy. The list of names also include 10 men and one woman who gave their lives during the Second World War. These 29 people in all were from this parish, our own sons and daughters. Our purpose today, of course, is not to glorify war, but to remember the cost of peace and the waste of life that comes with armed conflict. Our purpose is also to remember the lives of those who made this sacrifice, 100 years after the end of the First World War. We don't know much more about some of these people than their names and the nature of their sacrifice. But the words of Jesus put their sacrifice in context, where he says in John chapter 15, "Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends." It is, of course, not an uncommon experience for the church to remember those who might otherwise have been forgotten. At least today we know some names. The fact is, however, that some of the names or some of the people that are recalled for us in the Gospels are people with unknown names, people whose contributions sometimes seem insignificant to us, but whose words and deeds nevertheless are lifted up by Jesus because they are participants in a movement of God that causes the world to be changed before our eyes. We can think, for example, of the unnamed visitors from the East who came first to spy on and then ultimately to worship and offer their gifts to the newborn baby Jesus. Or the little boy who had nothing but a small bag lunch and offered his mere 5 loaves and 2 fish to become enough food to feed a massive crowd. Or the woman who gave her very best to Jesus, the most precious gift that she had, a jar of expensive ointment that she used to anoint Jesus' feet, an act that touched Jesus on the deepest level. What these stories all have in common, other than the fact that the people have unknown names, is their extravagant generosity, gifts of extravagant love, a kind of sacrifice and persistence that is remarkable, not only because of its impact, but also because of the seemingly anonymous nature of its origin. The story that I read a moment ago from Mark chapter 12 is another example of generous, self-sacrificial self-giving. Imagine the scene: Jesus at the temple one day with the people watching. He seems to have been watching that part of the temple called the treasury, where people have brought their offerings in support of the temple. And it seems that this day there are many rich people who are putting in large sums of money. Perhaps he could tell they were rich by their fine clothes or their expensive jewelry. Each one hoisting their gift and making it a sign that others could see. Perhaps we can imagine the sound of the coins falling into the treasury. Many rich people, Jesus said, put in large sums. I wonder if we might even hear a bit of applause by the onlooking gawkers, since it seems that one of the purposes of large gifts was to be known, a desire for it to be done in public. But something different caught Jesus' eye that day, not a rich person, but a poor widow. Perhaps it was the way she was dressed. Maybe it was the look on her face. But something about her communicated to Jesus that she was not like the others who were there that day. She was poor and she was alone and she had little. Her contribution to the temple treasury that day barely made a clink as it fell with the others. She pulled out 2 copper coins, together worth about a penny. She walked up and dropped those coins into the treasury. As you can imagine, there wasn't any applause. Nobody turned their heads. But this unnamed woman, unknown to the world, caught the attention of the Son of God. Jesus turned and he said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. She has put in more," he said. Jesus' disciples might have wondered if Jesus was making an accounting error. After all, this long procession of wealthy people were giving many times more than this poor widow. How could Jesus say that the widow was giving more? He said, "For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on." Did the widow's offering make a bigger difference than the offerings of the wealthy? Well, certainly not a bigger difference in the finances of the temple. It wouldn't have bought more animals or supply more candles or whatever it is that the temple treasury paid for. But it did make a bigger difference in the life of the giver. When the wealthy gave their sums, the implication is that they didn't really miss it. They had plenty left over to live their normal lives, to wear their fine clothes, and to take their big vacations. They didn't have to give up any luxuries, sacrifice any ambitions, or give up on any of their greed. Their offering really made no difference to them at all. But it was quite different for the widow. The moment she heard those coins tinkle into the coffer, she knew that she would feel the effects for a long time, that she would have to do without not luxury, but even the necessities. She wasn't interested in feeding her ambitions or succumbing to greed. She would, as a result of her gift, have to do some serious reprioritizing, some serious reflection on her commitment to God. Somehow the money that she left in the box was emblematic of the love that she had for God, her gratitude for God's blessings, her desire to see the work of God continue in her community. She gave painfully, but perhaps she gave joyfully. And in return, her little 2-cent gift would impact her forever. Jesus called her gift greater because it made a bigger difference in her life and was a better indication of the sincerity of her commitment than any of other gifts from the wealthy people. Throughout this month of November, our sermon series is entitled Gifts of Love. We're calling this a series on giving from the heart. During this month, we're going to be hearing from our parish stewardship committee. And if St. John's is your church home, you can expect to receive a card that we'll ask you to make a pledge for support of our ministry here at St. John's for 2019. This morning, though, we're inviting you to receive a gift. At the back table, there are a number of small green books that we're inviting you to take with you today. The book is from the great spiritual writer Henry Nouwen. The book's title is, I have to admit, less intriguing and less inviting. It is simply The Spirituality of Fundraising. Now, I know it doesn't, you know, the fundraising word doesn't sound very exciting, but it is truly a wonderful little book. It talks really about the spirituality of generosity, reminds us of the great generosity of God and how we are blessed to participate in that generosity in our own lives. So The Spirituality of Fundraising, but remember, it's Henry Nouwen, and everything he writes is absolutely marvelous. I commend the book to you. Invite you to take a copy, pass it along to someone else. If you want, bring it back. We can pass it on to someone else here at church. We're going to have a discussion about this book, in fact, on Sunday evening, the 27th of this month. And two exciting things about that is, the first one is that the discussion is going to happen across the street at the Donut Monster, and there may even be some donuts available. And the second thing is that our own Gillian Doucette Campbell will lead our discussion. The title of my talk today is The Greatest Gift. The Greatest Gift. And I don't think there could be a more appropriate theme as we remember those who laid down their lives for our community. Again, Jesus' words, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. A couple of weeks ago, in wrapping up our last series, The Upside Down Kingdom, Canon Rattan implied that I had perhaps been too nice. He said so many nice things about me, but he spoiled it with the word but at some point. But he said I'd been maybe too nice in terms of talking about the demands of the kingdom. Today's text and the examples we reflect on today leave little room for being too nice, because the theme is clearly about sacrifice. As we remember the supreme sacrifice made by our neighbors, sons and daughters, in the armed conflicts of the past, we're also reading this story of this unknown woman who gave everything she had. Everything. None of them gave what was easy. They did not do what was convenient. They gave everything. Sacrifice. And we are reminded today that when we speak about sacrifice, we are near to the kingdom of God. The sacrifice of those we remember, the gift of the unknown widow in today's gospel, point us in the direction of the sacrificial, self-giving love that we see so perfectly in the gift of God in Jesus Christ. God gives us God's self in Jesus, and in doing so, shows us the most excellent way of life and love. It is the way of generosity. It is the way of the open heart and the open hand. It is the way that this upside-down kingdom is manifest in our world. It is God's way of love for the world, a way in which we are each invited to shape our lives. And of course, it is transformative for us. It is transformative for the world. May God teach us this way of love and this greatest gift. Amen.